Well, let me welcome you to the first service of a new year. Happy New Year to you. We're mindful of those at home who will be picking up a recorded service because of some issues, but we welcome you too, as and when you're able to connect to the service. And we pray that together as a church family, here or at home, we will just be blessed together as we share in our service. The poem goes, and you've probably heard at least one of the lines. It says, "And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. And he led me towards the hills and the breaking of day in the lone east." Three more verses, just expressing in some way the fact that as we navigate another year, the weeks that are ahead, whatever they will look like, that trust in God is of paramount significance. But we have faith, but it's not blind faith. Sometimes society like to caricature our belief system. We're just blindly following, but we're not blindly following. We've got the motto text that's behind me for the year. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. We're not operating in blind faith. We're actually operating because Christ is the object of our faith. Our trust is in him. And Christ, an historical figure, one who lived, died, was raised again, is alive today. That's where our trust is. It's not blind faith, but it's in all that Christ has done. Well, we're going to pick up something of that theme as we process through our service this morning. And we're going to begin by reading the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 12 as we follow on the screen, and we can read those together, which complement what we are seeking to do and say this morning in the service that we are having. So let's read these verses from Hebrews 12, verse 1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Well, we continue to praise God, and Jenny and Kay will lead us in our first hymn. Do follow those words, and as we share together, participate in your hearts on some of these great truths that we'll be listening to. may that be our heart's desire to adore our King, our God, our Creator. It's not something that we can kind of work up ourselves. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray that God will help us. Well, let's do that. We're going to continue in our service, and I will lead you as we pray together. Our Father, we come to you today, the one who is the sustainer of the world in which we live. You are the creator of all things, and we bow humbly in your presence. We record our praise and our worship of you, the one and only God. There is none like you. All the other gods that have eyes that cannot see, ears that cannot hear, hands that cannot touch. But we come to you, the God involved in his creation and identifying with his world. We thank you that that is fully displayed and evidenced in the coming of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came as a man to be among us, to be with us, that you are in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And we worship and praise you today and throughout this day. Lord, we do bow before you at the beginning of a new year, our first Sunday together. We look back at the past year and we can't even begin to imagine that this is what we thought was going to happen. All the uncertainty, all the frustration, all the anxiety. Yet as we stand at the gate of another year, we realize that even if this virus is brought under control and things return to some degree of normality, the year will still be filled with the unknown and the unpredictable. So we want to thank you that we can look back and yet press forward, and our trust is in you. You are the one who knows all things, and we know that you are always committed to your people, to your children, to your family. And if we know that Christ is in our lives by the Holy Spirit, then we have all that we need to face the questions of a new day, of a new year. Lord, in the year ahead, there may well be days of grief. There may be days of uncertainty. There will be days of joy and celebration. There'll be such in the mix of life. But again, our lives are entrusted into your care, whatever the day may bring. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the year will be one of growing in our knowledge of you, so that we are all the more equipped and enabled to live in the light of who you are. We confess our inclination to sin, and we repent of those things that beset us and weigh us down. But with you there is mercy, and we praise you for your love and care toward us. We pray for each other and everyone in our congregation today. We ask that you will come alongside and be to all everything that they need for the moment and for the days ahead. Help us to learn that we need not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Lord, help us to rest in you. We do pray for those of our congregation who are in hospital at the moment. We pray for Sam Redfern as he is assessed, for Eileen Milligan as she continues to be monitored. Lord, may they be conscious of your presence, and may they be aware of the supporting prayers of your people. And even if we neglected and we forgot them, we thank you that you do not. But Lord, we don't either, and so we commend them to your care this morning. Lord God, we commit our young people to you for another year. We thank you for them, and we pray that though education and life continues in its disrupted manner, that their rest will be in you too. May they also have that trust that Christ is with them, that they are learning in all things to wait on you and understand who you are. Lord God, we do then thank you for this day, and we pray that you will help us as we share around your word. Help us to hear your truth and enable us to apply that truth into our lives and be obedient to it. And we would ask all of these things in your name and for your sake. Amen. Amen. Well, we do continue to pray for Sam Redfern and Eileen Milligan as they are in hospital, and trust that they will be able to be out sometime soon with all that will be required to continue with their care. Remind you, God willing, we'll be back here next Sunday at the usual time. I am hoping that we will be able to do the Lord's table. So there will be 2 weeks in any month, 1 week following the other, I guess, where so group one will be able to share together around the table, and then and group two the next week. But we a couple of practical things that we might need to determine, but we're hoping maybe to commence that, God willing, next week. So just be mindful of that. Do pray. The leaders, God willing, will be meeting together next week, a week Monday. And so let's just pray as we continue to assess what's happening and planning for the future. We continue to look to the future, and we want God's wisdom as we do that. So as leaders, we value your prayers if we meet a week next Monday. Then in the midweek, we have been doing some devotionals. When I started the devotionals in the Book of Psalms way back in March, I thought, well, we'll do a few and then we'll get back to normal. And we finished, as you know, we got to Psalm 150. We weren't doing all the Psalms, but we got to Psalm 150 and we're still in the same situation. So we've started the Book of Esther. You've already received an overview of it. And the first devotional on chapter one. We're looking at those either on a Tuesday evening or a Wednesday afternoon. If you want to be part of one of those groups, they're kind of like small groups, but using the social media. So Zoom on a Tuesday and Skype on a Wednesday. It's an opportunity just to pray together, to look at the chapter. I've set some questions at this time for the Book of Esther. Maybe you could have a look at those in the meantime and assess them and then share together. So that will be starting, God willing, this week. Well, I think that's everything I want to say just now. So please do turn in your Bibles as we look together this morning at Hebrews chapter 11. It's Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 1 to 16. Of course, the whole chapter is a part, but we're just going to get the feel of it, get the theme of it, by reading the first 16 verses and focusing our attention on verse 1, which is our motto text for the year. So it's Hebrews chapter 11, and we're in verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, though through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, He went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But that is it. As it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Well, may God help us as we look together at this text that we're thinking about at the beginning of 2021. Whatever any of us expected in the year that is past, nobody thought it would be like what it was. It was last December that the news began to leak out from China that there might be a problem with a new type of virus. It would be the 20th of January, though, before the president of that country would make any public comment. But very quickly, we began to see the great spread of this virus, which has resulted in the pandemic that we're still part of this morning as we speak. We've all had to face it. Any number of emotions have been felt over the period. There's been anger, there's been frustration, there's been worry, stress, and weariness, just to name a few. In the initial period, if you can remember way back in March, and we hit the first lockdown, there was a hitting the pause button. Everybody was adapting to a new pace of life. There were so many things that we couldn't do, and we all had just to stop for a little bit. Many have had to experience funerals with just a few people in attendance. Weddings have been cancelled. Significant birthdays have been held in lockdown. Milestones in the lives of people have just come and gone. And many lives, both on the front line and in the population at large, have been lost. You might remember right at the beginning of the pandemic, or our first national lockdown, that the Queen addressed the nation. It was Sunday the 5th of April in the evening. It was a speech that seemed to resonate with the nation, given the response, but also given the fact that 24 million tuned in for the broadcast. She ended the speech with the thought that better days are going to come. And I guess we would all applaud that. And we look forward to less restrictive days. They don't seem immediately to be on the horizon, but we keep getting the promise that it's going to happen. So as I contemplated a text for the start of a new year, and a year that will be ahead of us and we know not what it will hold, I was drawn to this theme that for us, if we're followers of Christ, there is then, without any doubt at all, a better day is going to come. That's very interesting, as you read all the communications, and we've mentioned this before, that hope is always being held out. We do need it. We sent round a card in the community here, our Christmas card, entitled Hope is Born. In the midst of uncertainty, there's the reverberating message that there is a better day, and the message that we were seeking to declare, that our true hope has to be in Christ. So there may well be hope in the here and now, and we do need it. But we are those that know that one day there's going to be a new world, a new heaven and a new earth that will declare something of greater blessing, something unparalleled. That being the case, our text this morning, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This chapter is well known. Some have called it the Hall of Faith. If you go through an art gallery, you'll see various paintings of people or scenes as the artist endeavors to capture a previous generation, the experience of the day, whatever was going on. And here, the writer wants to take his reader around a gallery. And he highlights character after character from the Old Testament. You have Abraham, you've got Moses, and he just goes on and on, one after the other. He draws out from the text of the Old Testament. And the binding theme in chapter 11 is that they all lived by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Of course, we need to know what faith is. Faith isn't something that we generate. Faith is a gift of God. It's what God endows upon us so that we can truly believe and hold on to him and trust him. And so these people knew that faith. The object is the living God. Now, we know this book is written to people who are under pressure. They're facing challenges. On the one hand, you've got the ruling culture in the form of the Roman Empire, always keen to ensure the peace of the nation and curbing any idea of dissent. Then on the other hand, you've got the Jewish identity, and they are unhappy about the group that are following the way, that call themselves Christians, that are believing in the message of Jesus Christ. So on the one hand, you've got Rome that's bringing pressure. On the other hand, you've got the Jews that are bringing pressure upon the church, and they're feeling the squeeze. The result is that some are beginning to doubt their faith. Some are beginning to be discouraged in their faith. And some, it seems, are in danger of deserting altogether. In practical terms, the Christian of that day might be facing difficulties in employment, not getting the jobs because, of course, you're ostracized and marginalized, discriminated. Your national identity seems to be compromised because you're holding to something which is apparently new. And you're going against, it seems, the cultural flow of the land. Well, actually, there's nothing new, because that's where we are today as God's people. And this letter, then, is designed to challenge and to comfort in equal measure. So that being the case, he brings them to this, which is designed to reassure them that there is a hope and that there is a better day. So we've just got two things this morning to think about. We're going to say that faith looks to the future. And the second thing that we're going to talk about is that faith lives in the present. So first of all, faith looks to the future. When the Queen said in her speech, there's going to be a better day, she didn't put a time scale on it. She didn't say when we would get the better day. I'm not sure that any of us, or even she, thought that 10 months later, we're still waiting, it seems, for that better day. It seems to be a little bit more tangible in the fact of a vaccine that has been generated. But still, we have a variant. We have other things that seem to hit the news that cause us to, we think, take two steps forward, one step back. So for all our hopes and dreams, they're forever subject to uncertainty, even if you're the Queen. And the writer here is contending for the Christian that there is a future, that there is certainty and there is sureness. One commentator says this: for the man without faith, hope is cumbered with uncertainty and cramped by unpredictability. It's retarded by the fears as well as spurred by the longings of human subjectivity. That just, you know, we hope something's going to happen. We hope it's going to be the answer, but we really don't know totally. All we've got is what we can see around us. For the man of faith, however, hope is something sure and substantial precisely because it is founded on the objective reality of the immutable promises of God who cannot lie. God has said, God will do. And the full disclosure of those immutable promises are displayed, evidenced, and exhibited in Jesus Christ. And so that's why he can write, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Assurance means something which is solid, something which is real. There's a foundation. So hope is built on this confidence. There's a certainty, there's a guarantee. Somebody has described it as being in possession of title deeds. If you own your own home, then you will have title deeds to that home. They are yours. If somebody comes to question that it's your house, you can say, hold on a minute. Here I've got all the information that tells you that this is my home. I am the owner of it. Might be mortgaged, but I'm still the owner of it as far as I keep those payments up and fulfill those obligations. But it's mine. I have the title deeds. So in human terms, we hold documents that assert ownership and inheritance. This chapter is a call to faithful endurance that becomes possible because we have the title deeds of hope. Certainty. Guarantees. In chapter 11, the testimony of the people of God is set before them. Person after person is demonstrated as having lived by faith in trust of God. If this chapter was a musical score, then the melody line is faith. That's the reverberating, pulsating message that we hear from this chapter. So faith then looks beyond the here and now, beyond the uncertainty and the unpredictability, to something that's set, to something that's secure, to something that is absolute. And that's possible because of what's been outlined in the previous chapters of Hebrews. You see, the Son, that is Jesus, has come. The Son has accomplished his mission. The Son has finished his task. The Son has claimed his family. These are mine. That's what all of the other chapters are telling us. You put your hope in angels. You put your hope in Moses. You put your hope in Abraham, but the better has come. The one that's fulfilled all that they pointed towards has come. Here is the Son of God. Here is King Jesus. And he's placarded and paraded and shown to be who he is. And they can come then with absolute assurance. The Son has done all that he's had to do. So it was from the cross that Jesus was able to cry out, "It is finished." All that he had planned, purposed, was completed. And that cry has resonated and reverberates down the ages to this present day, to this moment as we sit in this church as a small group of people hearing those hymns sung, but able to understand that God has done his work. He's seen his purposes played out. And generation after generation sets its mind on the provision of the cross. The sweep of the cross will penetrate, will permeate, and definitively proclaims absolute and total victory. You see, we know how the story ends. The story ends with Jesus winning. We don't need to worry. We know that the victory is ours. I've used the illustration before about watching a football match or some other sporting event. If you watch it live, you don't know what's going to happen. But if you've recorded it and you know the result and you know that your team wins, you watch it completely differently. So you know that you're going to get the cup, or you're going to win the competition, or you score enough goals to more than the opposition. You know it's going to happen because you know what the result is. There might be, as you're watching the game, you might be thinking, well, do we really win? We're 3-0 down. We can't pull this back, can we? I can't think what game I'm thinking of. But anyway, but yes, for sure. We do pull it back, and we do win. And that's what the Bible tells us. We just know that we win, because Jesus has won. And that's our victory, and that's our assurance. So there is an eternal hope that spells heaven. They're looking to a heavenly city. Whatever these Old Testament men and women are conceiving and understanding in their shadowy way, they're still looking forward to a better day. And they know it's going to come because God's promised. And that's our security if we are those who are in Christ. We can look to the future because of past accomplishment. We live in an uncertain age, but even when the virus is past, when everything settles, we're still going to be living in an uncertain age. Nothing actually has changed. When everybody gets vaccinated and we all kind of pile out into Tesco, well, we're already piling out into Tesco as far as I can see, but we all kind of get in big groups again, it's still just as uncertain and just as unpredictable. That's not to put a downer on stuff. I'm looking forward to the day of being in big groups in all sorts of ways. But we just need to know, don't we, that our true hope is in God and God alone for every circumstance. So faith looks to the future. But the second thing, as we do conclude this morning, is that faith lives in the present. That's the reality of it. It does live in the here and now. These Hebrew Christians were reminded that there is a hope ahead, but there's also the feature that they live in the here and now. They have to get up every morning. They have to face the fact that maybe they can't get employment. They have to face the fact that they've got to get bread on the table somehow. They've got to face the fact that they are going to get on the bus and head off to work. Whatever is their situation, they're just living their lives. And faith lives in that moment. So as they get up, there is the acceptance of God's word. There's a framework which has God at the center of their lives, which can make sense then of the here and now. That's the beauty. Actually, God being at the center makes sense of what's going on. Even a virus. Well, God, you know. I've just got to rest in you, even if it's at its most dangerous. So for us, as we face the day and as we get up in the morning, we have to face all sorts of things. There's the advance of science with a blessing and also the challenges of that. There are the ethical and the moral dilemmas that our age brings. There's the blessings of good health and degrees of prosperity. There are disappointments and discouragements. All of those things are just part and parcel of our daily life. All of these in chapter 11, we didn't read about them all. They lived at different times in periods of history. They faced different events and they had different challenges. But what becomes clear is that in all of those circumstances, they live day by day with a trust in God. They've got a hope to look forward to. That's why they keep pressing on. But they actually live in the moment with what's happening in their lives on this day. All of the things that we face are given perspective as we face the challenges of the moment. What do we learn? I think we learn to give thanks as we live in our day. I think we learn to grow in the day of testing. That's often the way the challenges that we face spiritually and as Christians actually are formidable tests sometimes, but they are strengthening us and are used for the glory of God. And ultimately, we learn to trust Him. As I looked up my notes from last year's sermon, you won't be surprised that I said, well, we don't know what the year's going to bring, but little did I think what the year might bring, because I think I probably say this every year, we don't know what 2021 is going to bring to us. But whatever we can say, as we know who Christ is and what God has done, then faith looks to the future and faith triumphantly lives in the present. Which doesn't mean that we don't feel the grief of the moment, which doesn't mean that we don't feel the pain of the medical diagnosis that isn't as we would want it, which doesn't mean that we don't have all the other emotions that have been part of our year. We have all of those things. We have to work through all of those things. But it seems to me as we do that, it's this foundation that keeps us living for Christ, whatever. And may God help you and me, that we may be a people then that see the hope ahead of us. Heaven is held out. It is for God's people. It's going to happen one day. That is a better day. That really is the best day. But for all of that, we can live today in the light of that, but know God's help in all that we experience, in whatever the year has for us. And may God help us just to trust him and acknowledge him in that. Well, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing our closing hymn before we leave this morning. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have been able to gather in this way. Thank you that we're able to share together. And we would just pray that you'll help us this morning to rest in your truth, and to know that there is a hope, a great hope, an assured hope, and that enables us to look ahead, but to live in the moment. We praise your name. Amen. So we're going to have sung, but we will follow in our heads and hearts. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I'm going to ask us to stand so that we can just share together and participate in our heads and hearts in this great hymn. Let's stand. Jesus' blood and righteousness. So now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's be seated. So God willing, we'll be back here next Sunday morning. In the meantime, Do be aware of the various groups that we're able to join if you want, but also that we'll share together in ministry as best we can in any way which we can encourage one another together as a church family. So we will exit, unless you've got to stay behind to do various things from the front row to the back. So I will, I'm just going to go out there and I'll see you as you come out. Thank you.